Well, we are at Gillette Stadium. Summer is over. That's it, done. And we're on to NFL football and week one for the Patriots. And it is Boomer Esiason time. Boomer is brought to you this morning by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. We'll even get to Boomer's Drake take, which is presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. While we talk to Boomer this morning. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Are we all excited about the upcoming season or not?
We are at Gillette Stadium this morning, and I must admit it was weird to see Bill Belichick coaching anywhere other than here last night.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate game for him last night. TCU is a well-built team. You know, you could see that they have a little bit more speed than North Carolina, and I think a little bit more organization and a little bit more incentive to go in there and beat the hoodie. But, you know, it's like Arch Manning. You know, this is like their first foray into this. They haven't been around it a lot, but I would say it's only going to get better from here.
Well, we're on to Mike Vrabel, and the Mike Vrabel era officially begins on Sunday. And what is this team had 4 wins last year under Gerard Mayo? What's a reasonable expectation when it comes to wins for Mike Vrabel?
You know what? They had 8 wins the combined last 2 years, and they've been horrible ever since Tom Brady left. I would say 9 wins, and I do have them winning a wild card this year. And I think, and the reason I say that is because obviously we all know how much money they spent in free agency this offseason. We all know how much they built up the offensive line. We also know that Drake May should take huge steps under Josh McDaniels. To me, that's the key relationship. I mean, Mike can do Mike's stuff. He can be the head coach. He can be the head coach of the offense and the defense. He can make all the decisions, whether or not to go for it on 4th-and-1, do all the things that Bill Belichick did do when he was at the Patriots and when they were successful. But to me, it's a quarterback-driven league. And I believe that Drake May showed enough last year with a terrible situation around him where he should be able to, you know, get off flying this year. So that's what I'm resting most of my predictions on him. I think they can get 9 wins this year. I think they can win a wild card. I think the Jets are going to be a little bit better, but they're going to be quarterback hamstrung. I don't know what's going on down in Miami with Mike McDaniels. It seems like that thing is really teetering on collapse. And then of course, you got the Buffalo Bills, who are still one of the best teams in the league simply because of their quarterback.
Boomer, you've been there. You know better than anybody. You've been there before. What's the most important thing for Drake May going into his second year that he's going to have to do to get them to be that wildcard team that you talked about?
If I go back and I think about Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady, I think about preparation, Jermaine. You know, Tom knew everything before the ball was even snapped. And, you know, not every player is capable of that type of play. But, you know, I think Drake is smart enough. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He runs well enough, something that Tom did not do. I think that there are aspects to his game that Josh is going to love. And introduction that I've seen or interview that I've seen of him, he seems like he's really into it. And that's the one thing that every NFL team demands of their quarterback: be into it, be prepared, weather the storm, if you will. And I think there were a lot of storms last year that Drake May got up and went back to work. So I appreciate what he went through last year, which means to me, with Josh McDaniels, with the preparation, that he now has a cheat code as a coach. And I think that's the best thing that the Patriots have going for them right now.
Boomer, something that Drake has talked about during this preseason is having to work on not getting too hot when he starts games, not being too jittery. And that's when he feels like he's making the most of his mistakes. So that's something he's been working on. As a former quarterback, how can you get out of that mindset, and how can you kind of correct the mistakes you've been making by getting too hot out of the gates?
You know, it's a great question. We saw this past week with Arch Manning. Arch Manning was playing the game at a fever level. And the key to playing great quarterback is to be calm and to be able to take the big, deep breath and, you know, see what's going to happen before it actually does happen and anticipate. So, yeah, I it's a hard thing to kind of curtail. You want your quarterback to be intense, and we saw Tom Brady many years throw his helmet on the sideline, get mad at himself, get himself back into the game. I don't think Drake has that problem, but I do understand the question that you're asking. It's hard, but he has to have early success. And I think that early completions, a running game that's going to be stabilized, a left tackle that looks like he's going to be a stud. I mean, all the things that are around him this year compared to last year are so different. So hopefully that will allow him to calm down a little bit more and allow him, to see the field a little bit better, make better decisions. And if he doesn't want to throw it, then he certainly has the ability at 6'4", 230 pounds to run it, which is a very rare commodity in the NFL these days.
Boomer, you mentioned Brady. Dan Patrick made waves last week. He said that Tom has to pick a lane, either be an owner or a lead broadcaster for Fox. Where do you fall down on that?
He's one of the greatest players the NFL has ever seen. He can do whatever he wants. I mean, I wish I could do all the stuff that he's doing when I was his age, but I remember that I was limited to one network and one kind of line of work around that network, and that was it. But things have changed. You know, I see Michael Strahan doing two different networks, Fox and ABC. So things have changed, and I'm sure Dan, for whatever reason, you know, feels pretty strongly about that. I don't. I think Tom is beyond reproach. I think he understands his role as the Raiders owner, but I think he also understands that he has to be as objective as he possibly can when he's doing all these games and meeting with all these coaches. So I cannot see him having a meeting with Pete Carroll on Wednesday saying, hey, this is what I see, you know, in the upcoming game. I just don't see that happening.
We know what Jerry Jones' answer is, but who won the Micah Parsons trade?
I think right now in the short term, it's got to be Green Bay. They got to believe that their window is open for a championship and to add a player of this caliber, much like they did Charles Woodson and Reggie White back in the day, makes a lot of sense for them. And by the way, I'm really happy for Micah Parsons. It's not that I'm a fan of his, but what I am a fan of is when players actually get what they want. And very few players actually are able to do what Micah Parsons did and hold strong and hold fast and get the trade and get the contract on top of that. So the next 5 years are going to be really interesting in Green Bay, and they're just going to be as interesting down in Dallas. Remember, you know, one of the reasons why Dallas was so bad last year is that Dak Prescott missed so many games. He didn't even play against the Eagles last year, but I do believe he has a 4-1 record in the last five games. So I think Jerry's expecting that their offense is going to be a lot better than it was last year without Dak. And I think he also felt like, you know, they needed to stop the run and they weren't going to be able to do it given the amount of money that Micah ended up getting from Green Bay. So one team's trash is another team's treasure, but certainly for the player, I'm really happy.
Boomer, you talked about Drake May and his success, and you brought up the young left tackle and Will Campbell. First three games of the season, he's going to have to deal with, obviously, Max Crosby, Chop Robinson, Bradley Chubb, and T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh. When you think about that for a young rookie who's coming into the league having to protect the blind side of a guy like that, what do you think's going through his mind?
I hope those guys line up on the other side. That's probably the first thing. But the one thing, you know, if you watch some of the tape, Jermaine, and I'm sure you did, I mean, this kid's got it. He's got the attitude. He's got the want to. He's got the physical prowess. Maybe his arms are a little bit short, but everything that I've seen from him, I think he's going to be a great one. I really do. This is one of these kids that really loves football. This kid loves to pile drive players into the ground. You know, when you go against a team for the first time in a real game, like, you know, Pete Carroll will have a defensive scheme that maybe Will Campbell isn't familiar with. So he'll see different players and he'll see different twists and stunts, and they'll try to take care of or take advantage of his inexperience. But I think this kid is really going to be terrific. I think it was a great draft pick, especially with the young quarterback now. And the one thing I will say with Moses and with Will Campbell, you would like to think that Drake May would have a little bit more comfort in that pocket, and that's what I'm expecting.
Good time to get this week's Drake take from Boomer Esiason, which is presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. There's some hemming and hawing around these parts about how often he should be running the ball, designed or not, and the risk. Where do you stand on that?
I am whatever gets him into the game. You know, Brian Daboll, the head coach of the Giants, when he was offensive coordinator of the Bills with Josh Allen, there were times during games, and Brian told me this, where Josh Allen would say, you got to call a run. I got to get into the game. I got to get hit. And sometimes when you get hit early, it just kind of knocks all that nervousness that Courtney was talking about out of you. So I think he's a terrific athlete. I think he could do many things on the football field. Of course, you don't want to have him running the ball 10 times a game unless, of course, he's doing it on his own and he's just extending plays. But I think we're going to see the athlete that he is this year, and part of that is going to be him running. I just hope it's not too much, and when he does run, I hope he has the wherewithal to slide, because that's how you preserve your career.
Boomer, Steph Diggs is kind of a head-scratcher for us throughout the preseason. We hear that he's amazing in practice. He's a leader. The guys are all following him, but then he kind of disappears. We don't see him at all during any preseason games. What do you think he can do for this team, especially week one?
He's a head-scratcher for everybody, not just you guys. but when he's on the football field, he is a tremendous talent. There's no question about it. You know, what he did in Minnesota was terrific. It's unfortunately got hurt down in Houston. I think they're hoping that there's still a year or two left where he can go up and make some of those spectacular catches that he made for C.J. Stroud and that he made for Josh Allen. That's the hope. I mean, you got to have some design player that can go out and make plays for you. I still think he's got a little bit left in him, so hopefully he gets off to a good start. The thing about that I always worry about him is he's his body language, and he's not afraid to complain. And you know, young quarterbacks don't need that kind of guy in their ear the whole time on the sideline in the huddle. You want your young quarterback to be able to dictate what he wants, not what the wide receivers want. So that will be interesting to watch to see how that relationship between Drake May and Steph Diggs plays out.
All right, Boom. I know that Cincy got you a Greyhound ticket to get out there, but let's be honest, when you look at the AFC and just even the AFC North, I mean, is there a chance Cincinnati could win that division this year? Is this the bounce back year for them? But you also got to deal with Baltimore, Pittsburgh. What's your take on just the AFC North and the AFC in general? Seems like there's going to be some juggernauts this year.
Yeah, I think the Baltimore Ravens have the best roster in football, and I think it's another MVP-type season for Lamar Jackson. They got a great coach. They got a great system. They got great players. They're going to be, to me, the best in the AFC, followed probably, you know, you got to say, like, Kansas City's going to be there. Denver's going to be there. I believe that Jim Harbaugh, even though they lost Slater, their left tackle, you know, he'll figure out a way to get to 10 wins. But Baltimore is head and shoulders above everybody. Buffalo, of course, is going to be right there. You know, the thing about it is when you start looking at some of these schedules that these teams play, I think the AFC East, you know, is like probably like a middle schedule strength of schedule. The NFC East is just a juggernaut, and so is the NFC North and the AFC North. Both of them, or all three of those different divisions, have really, really tough schedules, at least starting the season. So if the Patriots can get off to a reasonably good start, I still think they can get the 9 wins. I think they're going to be coached up. I think they're going to be really organized. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting here in about, I don't know, 17 weeks talking about who their first round matchup is in the playoffs.
Well, speaking of that, we'll get you on record when it comes to the Super Bowl, as we always do. And do the Niners have a reasonable chance of playing in their own stadium this year during the Super Bowl?
Easiest schedule in the NFL starting this season. Now, we never know how those things turn out, depending on who you're playing and what kind of condition they're in when you are playing them. But I don't think that they are a Super Bowl team. I still think it's the Eagles over in the NFC. There are a couple of tough teams coming out of the NFC North. It would be interesting to see what happens with the Lions with the loss of two of their coordinators. I can't wait to see what Ben Johnson can do with Caleb Williams. And certainly, J.J. McCarthy's got to be under the gun. You know, they had a great season with Sam Darnold at quarterback last year. Let Sam go to Seattle. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they're going to be a team that will definitely be at least a 9-win team, depending on how J.J. McCarthy plays out. And then the one team that I think is going to be good if the quarterback is healthy, I think the Rams could be one of the better teams in the NFC as well.
Question of the week for Boomer is brought to you by McFarland Energy. the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Is there a danger that the engagement of the century is a distraction for the Chiefs?
Oh, man, I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, I think it's kind of sweet, guys. You know me, I'm kind of romantic at heart. Right, Courtney, yeah. Right? I'm on board.
Yes, these are ring. Gorgeous.
Yes,
I'm so with a bunch gorgeous. Of losers on this panel.
Right. Well, you know, those, the guys that you work with, Courtney, are meatheads. That's what they're
yeah. Yeah.
Cynics.
Yeah, we own it.
I have a meathead question quickly. After this weekend, you mentioned Arch Manning's awful performance in week one. Who is more likely to be an NFL head coach again, Bill Belichick or Matt Patricia?
Wow, that's a really good question. I would say I still think Bill Belichick, but you know, not Matt. I don't, unfortunately, I think that ship has sailed for Matt. He's got that pencil stuck in his ear, and it's going to be staying there. And if I were him, I would stay right there at Ohio State because it looks like they got some pretty good players.
Yeah. All right, Boomer. Great to have you back every Monday. Thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, listen, I want you guys to pick it up this year. You know, I'm looking for body language. I'm listening for it. And Jermaine, okay. I don't want you taking any of us down. You hear me?
I mean, Wiggy had very succinct questions. I don't know if you noticed. Yeah. I mean, to the point this morning.
Sid, I like it. He wrote them down last night. Probably got a ChatGTP.
Yeah. I'll send you some money so you can get to Cincinnati, brother.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay. I appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody. Let's look forward to a great season.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox take the first against the Guardians after dropping the series with the Pirates. 6-4 was the final yesterday with Brian Baio going five innings, giving up three runs on six hits while striking out four. Alex Cora talked about Baio and the win as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, I think it was a grind for Brian. A lot of foul balls, a lot of lefties. They're going to put the ball in play, and they found holes, but he was able to give us five. In the past, that's 3 2/3, five runs, six runs, and that's who he is right now. Give us a chance to win. The bullpen did an amazing job, and offensively, you know, Narby with a big pinch hit there, and Trevor with that bomb.
Don't let summer slip away. Hurry into the Nissan End of Summer Sales event. To get your new ride, visit your local store, NissanUSA.com, today. The Sox have another with the Guardians tonight. First pitch at 6:35. We've got Garrett Crochet on the mound. Shaw McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. College football continued their opening weekend last night with Bill Belichick and UNC hosting TCU. The Horned Frogs absolutely destroying the Tar Heels after a hot start for Bill's guys. 48-14 was the final in Chapel Hill. UNC's quarterback Gio Lopez also exited the game with a back injury. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member FDIC and DIF.
All right, Courtney, thank you very much. The news coming up next, including how creepy is it, and one dude who was apparently enjoying the Korn concert way too much. Would that be fair to say?
Very fair.
All right, we'll get to that and the rest of the news next. We are at Gillette Stadium, and it is a Patriots Monday on a Tie Tuesday. That means that Ty Law will join us here in about 15 minutes or so. But right now, this morning's news with Courtney.
We're going to start off with a really sad story. 23-year-old Sterling firefighter Jack Bonazzoli was killed in a motorcycle accident in Berlin when he crashed into a home on Sunday night. Bonazzoli was a close personal friend to the family that lived in the house he crashed into. We can hear the owner, Rich Tataronis, talking about his wife being at the home at the time of the crash on WCVB.
She was streaming some stuff on TV, and you know, all of a sudden it was a shot because she was facing the direction, you know, where that window got pushed off, filled with glass in that room, and she was in the next room with the door open.
Awful story. Great young guy. He played football with Brees at Neshoba. Oh, wow. Unbelievable guy, and went on, I think, to play lacrosse in college, and seemed like everything I read Loved. He was training to be a firefighter, and so really just a tragic story. So
terrible,
awful,
and a terrible story in Houston, Texas, as an 11-year-old boy was fatally shot Saturday night while playing Ding Dong Ditch. The boy was rushed to the hospital, where he later died, and police released a person who had been detained for questioning. The investigation is ongoing. This boy was not alone. There were multiple children in the neighborhood going around ding dong ditching houses. Witnesses say somebody ran out after the 11-year-old boy after shooting him. So
I guess you have to advise your kids that they shouldn't be playing. Like, you wouldn't think you have to warn them about playing Ding Dong Ditch, but I guess you do.
Well, I mean, maybe don't shoot a kid if he's at your doorbell.
Right.
Yeah. It is Texas.
I would have thought the Ring camera would have made this impossible. Like, if you ring the bell, the camera catches you right away.
Yeah, you can see it's an 11-year-old. You know what they're doing. Like, just awful.
Yep.
Awful.
Michelle Wu, Governor Healey, and Senator Markey were all at a rally for workers yesterday on Labor Day. Thousands of union members gathered to march in the Labor Day parade that was put on by the Greater Boston Labor Council. We can hear from Governor Healey talking to the crowd from NBC 10.
Freedom and democracy. It was all born here, baby. And we celebrate that 250 years ago. And you know what it took to get that? It took a revolution. It took people, common people, coming together to stand up to powerful interests.
I mean, I want a WNBA team, and I want it now.
The person screaming there has been spending billions of dollars of our money to house people that arrived here without being invited.
Uh-huh.
And she's talking about a revolution. Yeah, the revolution was to be free of tyranny. Like, what in the world?
Said the revolution starts now.
Oh, yep. My God.
All right.
Very creepy story up next.
Okay.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put the camera in the lady toilet?
And it's kind of creepy, which is nice.
Back up, you creep.
So a guy from Pennsylvania was arrested at a Korn concert at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey over the weekend, unfortunately for masturbating.
Oh,
so
wow.
37-year-old Josh Scormavacci drove 150 miles to go to the concert alone.
Oh, where... there he is. I see him on YouTube and Twitch.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoying the show, apparently.
Yeah, the mood struck.
Okay.
he couldn't help himself but to, you know, touch.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't stop until an enraged concert goer punched him in the back of the head.
Uh-huh.
He eventually was taken out in handcuffs.
Oh,
he was charged with lewdness and resisting arrest.
Now, did they put the cuffs on both hands or just the dominant right hand?
I think both.
Holy!
But think about that guy. I mean, he's probably maybe there with his kid and is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Well, the guy was moved by the music,
right.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were some sexual corn when their lyrics.
Yeah. I didn't either. We have some audio of some witnesses to this, if you'd like.
Yeah. That just sounds like audio of Korn.
Right. At the end, you can hear somebody say "you."
Oh, okay.
Does Korn like have a bunch of like smoking background dances or something? You know, Chris Brown concert was a bunch of hot chicks there dancing.
Right.
No. So I was like, maybe he got caught the moment.
I think this happened to Scheim during his fantasy football draft on Saturday. Am I right, Scheim?
Nope, Greg, I don't do that in public. Thank you very much.
How did the draft go?
Oh, great. It was a lot of fun. Me and the guys had a blast. Played some beer dye afterward. It was a good day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is dye your go-to game when it comes to drinking games?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
How do you play beer dye?
There's like teams of two. You line up on the opposite side of the table. You throw a die in the air. It has to land on the other side of the table, and the other team has to catch it before it hits the ground. And if you plunk it in the cup, it's 2 points instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
Quick.
That
was as quick as I could explain it.
Can you call it a dice, too?
No, it's die.
No dice.
Yeah. The game is called beer die.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because he kept saying die, and I'm like, die.
Yeah.
The hell is that?
I mean, beer pong is the greatest drinking game of all time. Not even a close second.
I like chandeliers.
I don't know that one.
Well,
don't know Chandeliers.
I mean, I think beer pong is probably is the one that requires the most skill. Right. Although I would say that beer die is second to that when it comes to skill that's required.
Or flip cup.
Yeah. I mean, what about like a card? Do you like presidents with the cards, or is that too much of a? You throw your cards down and drink based on who has what cards.
Oh.
Yeah, never played that
one. No.
Yeah. All right. Do you pick differently in this draft, Sean?
So I picked different players. Yeah, but same strategy. I went running back off the top. This time I went Christian McCaffrey, Chase Brown.
Mm. Huh. Ooh, I don't like Chase Brown too soon.
Yeah.
That's all right. I did get Jalen Hurts, though, which was very nice. Very excited about that one.
McCaffrey's so injury prone. He's a good one, but yeah,
this
hurt.
I took a lot of risks on this team, I'll be honest.
Boomer has him. We just heard Boomer. He's got him repeating. So, I don't know. Eagles.
Best roster. The best GM maybe in all of sports right now. The Howie Roseman of the Eagles. Unbelievable job.
Yeah, they're good. You know who was he was talking about teams in the NFC. Oh God, who was the team that I was thinking about? It wasn't Washington. Damn, I have to come back to it. I was thinking about a team in the NFC.
Good talk.
When we're saying that, let me just look at my list.
Well, take your time.
I'm glad it stopped.
Here till 10.
You're gonna go over every team in the conference.
No. It was one team. I'm just drawing a blank on it. Yep. I got it right now.
Here we go.
Green Bay.
Oh, Jesus Mary.
What?
I don't know why I drew a blank on that one with the Mike Apostles thing, because he had mentioned Minnesota, but Minnesota's putting their 14-win team in the hand of a rookie quarterback, and I know he's not a rookie, but he didn't play last year, in J.J. McCarthy.
But Micah Parsons is hurt. Like, he's gonna have to be shot up every week.
But he's still going to play.
Yeah.
He's still going to play, and I like Jordan Love. I like the team that they got over there. I think that defense is going to be good. They're a team that – and then he talks about the NFC East, which I agree with him. You're going to have Dallas, Philly, Washington beating up on each other. So I like the Green Bay one. That was a team I was thinking about.
Did it sound like that they missed that in their physical, or did they forego a physical with Micah Parsons?
I didn't see specifics. I think I saw that they missed it, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, they missed it.
I mean, but still, you got the player for 5 years. Even if you miss a year of it, Micah Parsons is worth trading two first-round picks, especially because the Packers, if they are what you said they are, they're going to be drafting at like 25, 26.
And I don't know how much – I mean, I understand that he's dealing with something, but it wasn't like, this was the issue on why teams were hesitant to trade for him. Like, we didn't even know about this.
No, nobody knew. Yeah, nobody knew about it.
So I don't –
except for Micah Parsons and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't. That's why I don't think it's a major, major issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Shyam, let's talk some robots.
And now,
danger, Will Robinson, danger.
The robot uprising.
I'll be back
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Researchers at Florida State are saying that the uptick of usage of ChatGPT has adults speaking different. So you know how when you're with somebody from the South for maybe a week or two and you're having constant conversation with them, you might tweak, the way you speak and you don't even realize it.
It happened to Brian Kelly famously.
Correct. Exactly. Yes. So
used to happen to Hillary Clinton, depending on where she was visiting.
Yes.
I don't feel no ways tired.
happened famously to Madonna.
Oh yeah,
that's
she
right.
She got an English accent when she lived in London.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So they're saying that because over 50% of adults in the United States are using ChatGPT, they're starting to take on the ChatGPT vernacular.
Oh. Okay.
So there are certain buzzwords that ChatGPT uses over and over again. Those words: surpass, boast, meticulous, garner. They say that delve, intricate, those are words that now adults are using in everyday speech.
So if you used to speak to somebody who had a somewhat limited vocabulary and suddenly they're throwing out these, five syllable words that they never used before, it's because the robots have brainwashed them.
ChatGPT.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct.
All right. Well,
that's comforting.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out.
All right, so robots changing our language.
Is it making people smarter, though?
Maybe. I mean, are the people smarter, or are they just
having something that is written for them and being told how to speak? What do you think? What do you think the answer is?
Just probably the latter.
We are so lazy. I get my emails now. I'm sure everybody does this, and it's like, I can summarize this email in two lines. The email itself is like three sentences. I don't need you to summarize it. Curtis, I can read the email.
You don't have to post about that.
I'm so sorry.
You would be some, if you knew how to figure out ChatGPT, you would be somebody whose vocabulary would change.
My vocabulary would never change.
We would notice it.
I would keep it a bean.
We would notice
The people I talk to, they know exactly what I'm saying.
Brutal bro, a boast, bro.
There was some drama in college.
Did he just say that? Or was that Jackie?
I thought that was a drop.
Was that a drop?
Oh, yeah. That was me.
Yeah.
But was it a drop, or did you just say that?
No, I just said that.
Right. I thought that it was. There was some drama in college football off the field. Northwestern head coach David Braun has reached out to Tulane head coach John Sumrall and cleared the air after the Wildcats denied the Green Wave's request to wear white jerseys on Saturday to honor the 2005 team who, two decades after Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. I thought this was ridiculous. I don't know if it wasn't explained to them. It must have been explained to them, and I don't know what person would not make an exception 20 years after the worst natural disaster in our country's history.
Right.
Like, I don't.
The issue, from what I read, was that the Tulane put the request in like 48 hours beforehand.
So what?
I agree with you. And usually, you know, the requests come in months ahead of time. We can hear from the head coach from Northwestern saying why he denied the request.
You know, we wore the green helmets today for the 20th anniversary of Katrina. I'm going to say one thing. I'm not trying to take a shot, but we requested to wear white jerseys because that's what that team wore. It got denied by the other team. That's their prerogative. But when you show disrespect to the city of New Orleans, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to run into a team like this. They had a chip on their shoulder because I wanted them to wear the same exact uniform that team wore 20 years ago. Request got denied. We might have used that for a little bit of motivation to represent the city. So don't disrespect New Orleans ever. With that, open up to questions.
Apologies. That was Tulane's head coach saying that they got denied.
Yeah.
But Northwestern has said that the reason was the timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what took the guy so long? Why are you sending in 48 hours before?
Maybe they just had the thought then. I mean,
Katrina happened 20 years ago. You would think, like, you know what? Hey, we're going to honor Katrina in this season, and we're going to wear these uniforms. You would think, like, they would be on top of that. Should somebody come up last minute and go, hey, you know what would be a great idea 2 days before the game?
Who cares if they did? So your issue is with Tulane?
Yeah, but not like if you're going to honor this team, why are you not on top of that?
Don't you think it would have been easy, though, for Northwestern to say?
I'm not saying that it would have been, but I don't know. What if the uniforms were already on the truck? Who the hell knows?
That's basically what they were saying. They had already decided on their uniform.
Yeah, I'm just saying if the uniforms were already on the truck, the bags and bins were all packed up on the 18-wheeler. I'm just saying.
That's Tulane's issue. That has nothing to do with them denying the jersey.
No.
Where the truck is.
No. Northwestern's truck, they might have already packed up the uniforms to travel to Tulane. Because they played in Tulane.
Yeah.
So he's saying the uniforms were already packed. They had already chosen what uniforms they were wearing.
Yeah, but Tulane, they were the ones that want to wear the jersey.
Yes, but the issue was that Northwestern was already wearing white.
They probably bring...
I think that they only travel with whatever jersey that they're going to do.
Well, ship them out via FedEx.
But why not Tulane just say...
Why didn't they both just say, here's a patch, let's all wear it, commemorating 20 years since this occurred?
But I would say this, Curtis. We all know Katrina happened in 2005.
Right.
If you are going to honor the team, isn't this something that you know that you're going to do and say, okay, you know, 6 months before the season starts, hey, let's wear this...
Yeah.
To honor that.
Well, like, maybe you're right.
Tulane should be on top of that, not 2 days both before the game.
Both teams could have handled this better, but Northwestern certainly wasn't doing this out of disrespect, I don't think.
Right. No, but I think it's brilliant. I love when coaches use whatever they can for motivation. Right. But Greg and I talked about it briefly. I finished the Katrina doc on Netflix.
Which one did you watch, Netflix or Nat Geo?
Netflix, three-part series.
Yeah.
It is... so enraging. I was just bombed off my ass in 2005. Like I remember seeing like the footage of it, but I didn't really understand the depths that our government failed these people.
Yeah.
It is so enraging. The mom who lost her son, the commander or the colonel, I forget his name.
That guy
steals it.
Coming in there and fixing everything the way he did, he's an absolute hero.
And the way that there was a scene where they brought in the National Guard, so nobody can leave. Everybody's stuck. There's no food. There's nothing. People don't have insulin. They don't have anything. So people go into shops finally and are like, I need something. Then they send the National Guard in like that to patrol the streets with guns drawn. And this commander comes out. He's like, put the guns down, like screaming at these people in tanks. It was just so moving. I really recommend it if you haven't seen it.
Well, the amazing thing is that for that period of time where basically the hurricane had passed and they thought they were in the woods and they were outside cleaning up Bourbon Street and it was... You know, had no idea.
Because it took went slightly away from New Orleans, and they thought, oh, wow, we're lucky.
But they had no idea that the levees weren't going to hold, because the levees had always held. So, yeah, it's both of them are good. I watched the Nat Geo one, which was good. A little flex there. All right. I'm a big Nat Geo guy.
You do love it.
All right. Is that it? That was it?
Yeah.
All right. Great job on the news,
Thank
Courtney.
You.
Coming up next, our guy Ty Law is with us, and we will talk week one of the NFL season with Ty Law on a Tidy Tuesday next. We are at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday, which is happening on a Ty Tuesday, and that means Ty Law is here and back with us once again this season. And Ty Law is brought to you every Tuesday by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by 110 Grill. Visit one of the 34 locations throughout New England for modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere. Good morning, Ty Law.
Yeah, good morning. Good to be back, man. Hey, I miss y'all, man. I miss you guys.
How was your summer?
Oh, it was good. Busy.
It was good?
Very busy. Run all over the place.
I see out and about all the time. I saw you here at the statue dedication.
Yes.
What do you think of the statue out there?
I think it's great. To have a statue, the size of it and everything is great. The positioning in the stadium, they could have did a better pose than that, man. It's so many iconic pictures of Tom Brady out there, you know, hand up, LFG, whatever you want to do. But they could have done a little bit better than that one, I think, as far as the pose, you know what I mean?
Wiggy has an issue because he feels like they made Tom Brady look fat. And, I mean, if there's anybody who's stuck to the avocado gelato is not fat.
But he's a little pudgy looking. They could have slendered him down.
Yeah, I think it's because the head's so small. That's why he looks big.
But it reminds you of, like, a Joe Namath, Bart Starr type. That ain't Tom Brady to me. You know what I mean? Even though it's Tom Brady, we get that. But it could have been a little bit more oomph to it.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
too
to
stoic.
Me.
He was so emotional.
Exactly. And Tom is very fiery, so I mean, I could see him doing something with him screaming or something, raising the Lombardi trophy. I mean, you could have did something.
That's what I wanted.
Instead of just standing there.
The Falcons one where he's got the trophy like that over the dais, that was the one I would have gone with.
See, and my issue was, if they put the trophy in his hand, I would have been like, all right, I'll get past the little pudginess of it. But at least he would have had just the fist up. It was like, at least put the trophy in his hand. And I get maybe you don't want to give him like a little bit of a yell or a scream, because look what happened to the D-Wade statue when you get to open mouths and stuff like that. So maybe they were afraid of that. But
if you get the right sculptor, you won't have that issue. I mean,
facts.
I don't know if I've ever seen one like.
Action?
Yeah, like with the facial expression.
Well, Dwayne Wade looks great.
But if you're worried about that, just have the helmet on so you can just see the mouth part. Like, if I wanted him running down the field at the end, what he used to do before every game with the let's go at the end.
Yeah.
Like, something that gave some type of emotion. This was very stoic.
50-ish, 60-ish, Super Bowl. Because we had in the studio, I ain't even going to say that. I ain't even going to drop one yet. But it's like the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like Tom Brady. Yeah. This is 2025.
Yeah. Right.
You know, everything that he did, it made it seem so old. So, great honor.
Speaking of your potty mouth, are we doing the swear jar again?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. So every time you swear, $100 to the Greg Hill Foundation.
$100 to the Greg Hill Foundation. Okay. Like I said, guys, you know what we should do, Greg? Have them call in. Cursing for a cause.
Oh, if you call in, Chris, we raise a lot of money for the foundation. Yeah, man. I don't know, we have to get a bigger button.
I know. Yeah, what I'm going to do is get Shine back there to, you know.
I don't know how that works.
Cursing for a cause, everybody. Greg Hill Foundation.
I think that's a dumb effing idea. Yeah.
So what is your – you're here for a while, right?
I'm here. Yeah.
What's your expectation win-wise for this Patriots team this season?
I think we're going to go a game, two games over 500.
Okay.
I'm just being realistic. Two games over 500. I always tell people, they be like, what do you think? Vrabel's going to bring us back? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to bring us back, but give us some time. You know what I mean? I hate when people think.
That's, so nine to 10 wins. Right? That's 10 wins.
Yeah, 9 to 10 wins.
I said nine to 10.
Okay, well, yeah.
I said 9 to 10 wins. He might sneak one, but I think he's going to have the guys ready. He has a lot of respect, but I just tell people to manage expectations. Don't think the glory days is going to be right away. It's going to take time. You know what I mean? It's going to take time.
I got him at 9 wins, and I got him making the playoffs. I got him 9 wins making the playoffs as a wild card team.
What do you like about Vrabel as a guy that you and Wiggy played with him? What do you think about him as a coach?
One, I think he's always been a coach in my eyes, even playing with him. He was always very smart and intelligent with it. You know what I mean? Game plan-wise, I mean, Vrabel can do so many different things, but I think more importantly that he has the respect of the players. And Gerard, he played, but when you look up, when you talk about Vrabel, you're looking up at those banners. He had a direct impact on those banners that you see out there. So he's going to be holding everybody accountable about what it means to be a Patriot, you know, and to continue the legacy or bring it back. So I think it's going to be a great for the season, but don't, I'm tired of people talking about Super Bowl. If that happened, we'd all be happy. All for it, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, no, I don't hear a lot of people thinking that.
People tell me that all the time.
They do.
I'm thinking it's going to be back. You know, we're back, but we're going to be in contention for the Super Bowl. I'm like,
after how many quarters?
Right. I mean, yeah.
After how many quarters shots?
It's interesting you bring up the past, though, because Curtis had a great question with Vrabel this morning about how it seems like he's cutting the past. Like, you see guy after guy getting released that is part of the Bill Belichick era and seeming like he wants to move forward with his own guys.
I mean, You got to move forward, but at the same time, you still have that essence of he knows how to win. He's part of those championships. So, of course, yeah, anybody in the Belichick era, that's old anyway. Yeah, I mean, that's like asking us to come back and play. We're going to get our ass kicked.
Right. See, and the thing that I think.
We saw Wiggy try and catch footballs against Fourier.
Yeah, especially with no gloves. It's been a long time. But the thing that I always look at with Mike that I think is going to, like, not only he gets the respect from the players, it's not just that he's a former Patriots player, it's because of the success that he had in Tennessee.
Right.
You know, and so these guys know him as, like, okay, this guy coached in the league not too long ago, whereas, like, you know, sometimes it's hard, like, with Mayo, he didn't have that head coaching experience or some of these guys who might be former players and they never coached before. I think they try to walk the balance of being, all right, I'm a coach, but I still can relate because I played with Vrabel's done that already.
Yeah, he's done that. I still don't know why he got let go in Tennessee, but thank you. We appreciate it, Titans, that you know we were able to get Mike Vrabel back here in the building. But, again, it's going to take some time. If you give him, you know, 2 years, I think he's going to be in contention.
Ty Law's here. We're at Gillette Stadium. I got to take a quick break. But I want to talk all about this upcoming season with you.
Okay.
And I want to remind you that you can leave a Hill note now on the Odyssey app on any topic. We will play those back coming up at 9:20 on today's show. And we are back with more Ty Law next.